Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Eddie Greer. This is another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Welcome on board NASCAR Nation, 3-Wide Nation, to this podcast, all things NASCAR, a little bit of miscellaneous in there. I'm your host, Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. EG3, all things NASCAR, Craftsman Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Cup Series, all three biggest divisions. The three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. Excuse me. Man, I'm botching that up here. I'm recording this on opening day / evening of Major League Baseball, March the 30th, 2023. I'm probably going to keep this reaction edition. Oh, yeah. By the way, this is another weekend reaction edition, Coda edition. The Circuit of Americas with all three divisions participated. last weekend, as we're heading in to the first weekend of April. Cannot believe it's April already. As the I believe all three divisions are racing this weekend. I have to double check in on all that. But of course, I'm going to probably keep this a little bit brief, a little bit short here on this episode here. Just coming off of a little bit of a congestion here, probably over the weekend, or actually started Monday. So, I'm going to keep this a little bit short. But first, I'm going to take care of some business. Of course, you have not checked out my interview with Chrissy Luttrell, half of the Fast Lap podcast, which is still on hiatus. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. There you can find us on Spotify, Apple, the 3-Wide podcast I'm talking about, and other platforms, including iHeartRadio, folks. Very good conversation with her. We go through many wide range of topics, including talking about what could happen before the Coda race went down. So make sure you check that out. And I'm going to throw this in here as well. Big Joe, Chrissy's wife. No, Chrissy's husband, Joe. Man, I'm getting that all messed up. Chrissy's husband, Joe. Joseph is recovering, thank good Lord, was involved in a scary motorcycle accident Tuesday evening, actually, when that took place. Very scary stuff there as well, and I can also speak from experience, not being a motorcycle, but actually... I know it's been over a year now since my scary car accident, unexpected car accident, I should say that. But luckily, thankfully, Joseph is okay, and he is recovering. As far as I know, he messaged me on Twitter the other day as he was hopping on board, liking all the Twitter messages that was all sent out. So, big man. I know he's a big Martin Truex Jr. fan like myself. I know I want to get that out there. So, prayers up, Joe. Get better, feel better soon, and get back at it as well. Because, definitely, life comes at you fast. I can speak from experience from last year. So, definitely, be blessed. So, that's the good news there on that. Coda Cup Series. Tyler Reddick, man, the talk was all on him throughout the weekend, last weekend, and backed it up, man. Tyler Reddick's something else, man. He is he the new road course ringer in NASCAR? I think so, especially with Chase being out. Speaking of injuries, Chase Elliott recovering from his snowboarding accidents, Tyler Reddick took full control. That car was on another zip code down there in Austin, Texas. He ended up winning. And remember, Tyler Reddick won a couple of these things last year for Richard Childress Racing. And come back here with a new team, 2311. Billy Scott leading the crew chief for that 45. And, man, he put it down. Tyler Reddick, he was something else all weekend long. As he ends up winning the Echo Park Automotive Texas Grand Prix at the Circuit of Americas. And that mojo continues. And he was determined to make this team better. not only just that, look, that 45 car has been something else. Going all the way back to last year where Kurt Busch was in that car. And Kurt Busch was in the booth this past weekend, over the weekend, last weekend, I should say, as I'm recording this on Thursday. It's last weekend now. Kurt Busch was in the booth along with Clint Bowyer, Mike Joy, and a special guest from the F1. And I can't, I can't remember his last name right at the top of my head. But Gunther, he was up there as well, adding his expertise to the broadcast. But Kurt Busch got a little emotional toward the end of that race there. And I think, and of course, this probably goes back to him when he's in the car, won that race at Kansas, where we're all at. When at Kansas last year, where I was at last year, was supposed to compete in the playoffs, didn't because of the injury suffered in qualifying at Pocono, which really has really kicked him down to the curb. But he got really emotional when talking about 2311, and including Bubba Wallace as well. I get to him in a little bit, but yeah, got real emotional as they were coming to, what, when to go, something like that. Finally, oh, by the way, speaking of which, all those chances, three chances to get it right. So, luckily, he, Tyler Reddick, with all those restarts, oh, man, something's going to happen here at some point, and Tyler Reddick's going to catch a bad end get run over or get turned at some point. But that 45 Monster Energy Toyota was too strong. Too strong, and Tyler Reddick was going to be determined not to let restarts botches that ruin his afternoon like a few other drivers did due to stupid circumstances. But I digress by that. But Tyler Reddick continues his reign on the road courses. I would agree with my own statement here. I think Tyler Reddick is the new road course ringer. I know, yes, you got Adrian Allmendinger, and I already mentioned Chase, but Chase out of the car right now, and he even so, though, going back to last year when he, I can't remember which track, road course it was, but Tyler Reddick and Chase Elliott, right, they're duking it out back and forth, and Tyler Reddick won, beat Chase Elliott, right? So, and you have no Chase Elliott you got to deal with. You have Jordan Taylor in that nine, so now everything's open for you. And he just took advantage of it. Tyler Reddick with a fast race car, everything else like that. And he held on in three overtimes to win it. Bubba Wallace, on the opposite end of that spectrum, right? Finished 37th. And he claims he made a rookie mistake with the, I believe it looked like brakes. To me was the issue here. Very unfortunate because he had a good qualifying run for him there as well, and then of course Bubba being Bubba, being hard on himself and called himself out. Can't do that 2 weeks in a row. Rookie mistakes. Going to get replaced to some extent. I'm summarizing his quote there when he told Fox there as well. So yeah, still plenty of time. still plenty of time to make up some ground. But yeah, that's devastating. 2 weeks in a row, and you go back to Atlanta the week prior, where he's just the only car that spun on his own, spun himself out, nobody around him there, and took himself out of a chance to compete for a top 10, top 5. And we know when going to super speedways, Bubba Wallace's name is going to be up in the conversation to be right in the mix, right? So that sucked ass there for him, and it definitely sucks when you crash out early due to something you can't control. And you see your teammate win the race, as dominant as he was, taking the checkered flag and winning the race there as well. So, but yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, Richmond coming up here for the Xfinity Series. Let's see here. I'll get to that here in a moment, Bear. But yeah, star-studded field for this race here. The Echo Automotive Grand Prix. Heavy field. Jordan Taylor, I mentioned. Kimi Raikkonen. Jensen Button, Jimmy Johnson didn't last long either. He was involved in the first wreck of the day with a couple other cars, which included Ty Dillon as well. So not much luck for him as he wanted to tackle this course as well. So, but yeah, Tyler Reddick was outstanding. He won stage two and ended up winning the race. 41 laps led, the most laps by any driver of the day. And yeah, being a slow start, Tyler Reddick is really starting to really make his way forward in the standings here. More on that later. Kyle Busch, he had a quiet afternoon. Kyle Busch, he finished stage one, got stage points for that. And oh, by the way, this race is run, of course, with the stages, but no breaks. So that was a little bit refreshing to see that, see everything play out, almost play out, because this thing was going to wind down to fuel strategy between 24 and the 45, and the caution comes out, and then all craziness broke out, and then we end up seeing three overtime races. Well, not three overtime races, but three overtimes there as well. Kyle Busch finishing in the second spot. Alex Bowman, solid. Solid third place, and he got into a little disagreement, and then, of course, it was cleared up. Daniel Suarez there had a top five run going, and then the bottom fell out. But Bowman finishing the third spot. Ross Chastain, boy, I thought he was in trouble because he's restarting the back of the field with, what, less than a handful of laps to go. And then all these cautions put Ross Chastain back in the top 10. He, well, once again, was very good here. Of course, he was the winner last year at Kodokai's first cup win at this track last year. Chastain, fourth. William Byron was the other car, was kind of class of the field as well. He led 28 laps in this race. William Byron, fifth. Rest of this top 10, and if you put some money on these guys for this top 10, boy, you hit on something. You hit a parlay this weekend. If not, oh well, let's listen to these. Well, for the exception of this guy, Austin Cindric, strong sixth place for him. Steady, quiet, and steadily going about his business. We know he's talented on these road courses and was solid, sixth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 7th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. took advantage of all the cautions late. Then you have Christopher Buescher there in 8th. Ty Gibbs, 9th. Nice by Ty Gibbs, by the way, there. And last but not least, the guy that kind of got screwed out of his own ride, pretty much, there, running on a part-time schedule. I'm talking about Todd Gillen, 10th. Place finish, Ty Gillen, yes sir, got it done. Great job by Ty Gibbs and Ty Gillen. Two T's there. Yeah, absolutely. Ty Gillen, this is a you would have think that Michael McDowell would be up there, but Michael McDowell only finished two spots behind him. Corey LaJoy, another solid top dozen finish there in 11th. Corey LaJoy going about his business here. Pretty much backing up his good start to 2023. Then you have Michael McDowell in 12th. So you have the front row cars, right? Finish in the top dozen there, led by Ty Gillen. Big day for Front Row Motorsports. This is a 3-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer III here with you. Recovering from being a little congested. We started in the beginning of the week here and starting to try to get over it. So I'm trying to push through this here. So this is why it's going to be a little bit short on time today, so I can get recovered and be back fully next week. All right, so notables. I'm going to bounce around here. Oh, by the way, I should say this. 3 hours, 30 minutes. Yes, it felt like 48 hours, pretty much, with all these restarts, going all these overtimes and jumping back up the field and whatnot and seeing wreck after wreck after wreck after wreck after wreck. So, but they got it in 3 hours and 30 minutes there. William Byron winning stage one, Reddick winning stage two, and Tyler Reddick winning the race there as well. Caution flags there, 8 for 17 laps there as well. Tyler Reddick getting his fourth career victory in the Cup Series. Along with that, let's check it. Other notables, Kyle Larson, 14th. Denny Hamlin, 16th. Martin Truex Jr., damn it, finishing in 17th spot. He was in the top. He was minding his own business. He was all right. Bessie's been on a road course in this car. And he was in the top 10 with a handful of laps to go. And then, of course, all the overtime started. And I believe it was overtime number 2 where we got punted. Thanks to a courting effect by Suarez. And, yeah. So, that's a damn shame about that. But I'm a little bit bullish on Richmond coming for him this weekend here. But he rallied back to finish 17th after he was back there in 25th spot. Something like that. But behind him, Jenson Button. Nice, solid top 20 for him in his debut for Rick Rare Racing. Going down here, Jordan Taylor, 24th for Chase Elliott. Daniel Suarez, speaking of Suarez, 27th. He was in the top 10 all day long. Got himself in trouble. And then the last couple laps, self-destructed there. And, of course, more on Suarez actually here because yesterday he got fined for his actions on pit road. You can't do that. Kimi Raikkonen finished 29th here. Jimmy Johnson, 38th in the running order. That's not going to get done for him there. So that's kind of a look around there at some of the notables here in the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Greeter III. Here with it once again. Let's take a look. Take a look at the points now. After Coda here. Yep, there we go. And we have a new points leader. It is Ross Chastain, your new points leader, heading in to Richmond this weekend. He's only up by, he's got a 19-point lead on Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch won back at Fontana. Joey Logano, the Atlanta winner, is in third, not too far back behind Kyle Busch. Kevin Harvick sitting there in fourth spot. So Kevin Harvick, to me, quietly in his final season, in the beginnings of his final season ever in NASCAR, fourth. Nobody's not talking about that. Christopher Bell, C. Bell, in the fifth spot. They're two back of Harvick. I'm going to reel off the top 10 here. Ryan Blaney, Austin Cindric, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski sitting up in the ninth spot. And Tyler Reddick continuing to climb up the points after a slow start. He is now in the 10th position. We're going to step aside for a minute. We will talk Xfinity and trucks and get to the biggest news from yesterday. Shame on NASCAR, folks. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Pod on EG3. Welcome back to the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greeter III here. I believe this is episode 346 of the 3Y NASCAR Pod with EG3. Good thing I double-checked on the races this weekend, and I know I'll get the Xfinity in a minute, but I'm shifting gears to the trucks. And the trucks are at a different location this week. April Fools, this is not a joke. So we're recording this on Thursday. The trucks will be in Texas for the SpeedyClash.com 250. That is going down Saturday. And, of course, that might be Saturday night. Along with the Xfinity Series race. So you're in a doubleheader, but different locations. So Xfinity, I know, is in Richmond. And then you got the trucks down south at Texas Motor Speedway. And Zane Smith, let's run it back, baby. Zane Smith, your winner. Back-to-back winners of the XPEL 225. And Zane Smith had a dominating truck last year. Came back, backed it up again, thanks to a strategy call towards the end of Stage 2. And then he took care of the rest. Zane Smith wins the race. He led the most laps again. So, yeah, same thing, folks. 16 laps for Zane Smith en route to another win in 2023. I believe it's number 2 now for Zane Smith. Remember, he won the season opener there at Daytona. All right, so back here, Zane Smith winning again. Kyle Busch second. Kyle Busch did double duty at COTA last weekend. You have Ty Majeski, Tyler Ankrum finishing the fourth spot. Ross Chastain also in the field as well. He ended up in the fifth spot. Then, back into his top 10. Another strong run for Corey Heim in his new team. He finished 6th. Nick Sanchez, proven folks wrong. EG3 alum continues his strong start to 2023 season. He finished in the 7th spot. So, hell yeah, congratulations there. Tanner Gray, 8th. Kaz Gralla, real course specialist there, finishing in 9th spot. And Ben Rhodes rounding out your top 10 there for the XPEL 225. Other notables here, Rasha Carruth, hey, top 15 on a tough course. I take it. Rasha Carruth finished 13th there. Haley Deegan finished 16th there. Looking down the line here. Christian Eckes, the Atlanta winner, finished 30th. Parker Klickerman, who has been really on these road courses, whether it's trucks or the Xfinity, where did he finish at? He finished 31st in the race there as well. Carson Hocevar, he also had a rough outing, 34th as well. So this race, time of the race, hour and 51 minutes there. It's a 19, who's in that car anyway? Oh yeah, Christian Eckes. Truck anyway. Christian Eckes winning stage one. Kyle Busch winning his second stage there as well. And Zane Smith with a strategy call over Kyle Busch, getting the victory. Caution flags, not that much. 3 caution flags for 5 laps in this one as well. Let's see if I can pull the standings up now going into that race, which will be Saturday. I don't have the time in front of me right now, but I will check that momentarily here. Point standings here. We're just going to go through the top 10 here as well. Zane Smith, your points leader, but not by much. Only by 2. Over Ty Majeski, Ben Rhodes, 3rd. Christian Eckes, Grant Immingier, top 5. Matt Crafton, Tyler Ankrum, Matt DiBenedetto, Corey Heim, and Tanner Gray is your top 10 there in the Craftsman Truck Series after COTA. They're going to be going not to Richmond, but they'll be down south at Texas in Fort Worth, getting ready for that race coming up on Saturday. This is the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. We roll on now to the Xfinity Series, right? They're going to be in Richmond this weekend. Yep, for the Toyota Care 250. But let's rewind back real quick to the Pit Boss 250, which took place at Circuit of Americas as well. And you guys should not be surprised. Dominant performance by Colleague Racing's AJ Allmendinger. Of course, Allmendinger going for the points in the Cup Series now, not the Xfinity Series anymore, because he graduated back to the Cup Series. And he did not miss a beat right here, as he really owned this racetrack from start to finish. He ended up winning stage 1. Sheldon Creed winning stage 2 in this race. Let's take a look at the top 10 results here. Allmendinger with a dominant performance here as he led 28 laps in this race here. William Byron, so you have your top 3 in the podium finishers, finishing 1, 2, 3. Allmendinger, Byron, Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs had a great, good weekend. Ty Gibbs finishing in 3rd spot. He was running in 19. Again, that 19, if you listen to our earlier podcast, going back to the driver preview, the 19 is a driving revolving door this year. They're going for the Owners' Championship in that 19. Ty Gibbs on solid 3rd. I think this team has finished, this is their third time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is their 3rd consecutive top 5 finish. If you go back to Ryan Truex, before that, he finished, in the top 3 back-to-back times, and Ty Gibbs did it again. So this 19, right now, at least in the Xfinity Series, I wish it was the case in the Cup Series, but in the Xfinity Series right now, this team is on point right now. Another guy is on point, stay on JGR. Talking about Sammy Smith. Sammy Smith finishing his 4th spot. Great job by Sammy Smith. Justin Allgaier finishing in the fifth spot. That's your top five. Daniel Hemric, I think it's clear now he's back to being a contender in that top 10 week out after a terrible year last year. Daniel Hemric finishing in the sixth spot. Sam Mayer, Josh Berry, Sheldon Creed, talked about him winning a stage. Riley Herbst continuing his top 10 streak here early in 2023 with a top 10 spot. Brandon Jones finishing in 11th spot. Chandler Smith, 12th. Jeremy Kmetz finished 14th. We're looking at some notables here. Fast Lap Podcast favorite, Anthony Alfredo, finishing in 16th spot there for him. And let's see. My sleeper pick for this one was Parker Kligerman. He got points in stage one. Had some issues in this race. Ended up finishing 31st spot. Goodness gracious. There, it's so unfortunate there for him as well. Time of the race, 2 hours and 5 minutes there. Almendinger, another victory for him. For Almendinger, circling back to him, 16th win in the Xfinity Series in his career. So, again, he's not in the Xfinity Series no more. We got to be reminded, he ain't in there no more. He's in the Cup Series. I didn't call his name out where he finished at. In the Cup Series, by the way. I missed that. I missed that on that. So, there you go. On that, and you ask yourself, where's Austin Hill? Well, Austin Hill had issues finishing in 37th position. Ouch. So, next. Hold up. We got to do the point. We got to go back and do the driver points now. Top 10 here as well. And see if it's going to get me. Let's see. It's not going to give it to me. Wow. Unless I pressed the wrong one. Let's see here. Driver points. Come on. All right. There we go. Here we go. With the top 10 in driver points. Austin Hill is still your leader by quite a bit over John Hunter Nemechek. That gap is 46, and we have a new second place person in there now. The consistent top, Mr. Top 10, Riley Herbst. He and John Hunter Nemechek tied for the second spot in the Xfinity Series right now. And then you have Chandler Smith, Justin Allgaier, the rest of your top five there as well. And then look at this, folks. Or hear this, folks. Sam Mayer, Sammy Smith, Josh Berry, Cole Custer, and Daniel Hemric is the rest of your top 10 right there, folks. So Austin Hill still has quite a bit of a gap there, but Riley Herbst, solid start to the season. I'm telling you, it's not going to be too long. And I probably made the little bit of a bold prediction that Riley Herbst is going to get in the victory lane sooner rather than later here in 2023. So we'll see. He's been top 10-ing races to death. You got to go back to last year. I think it was from late in the first half on. Riley Herbst really started to be consistent with that car. And I would not be surprised to see him in victory lane. Victory lane, he's really turned the corner. And it's continuing to show on the racetrack. So good for him there as well. So, but Austin Hill, still your leader after the engine issues. As now we turn our... They turn their attention to the race, the Xfinity Series race at Richmond. Richmond, a short track. We are going to find out what... Hang on a second. What is going on? Okay, all right. Got it. All right, so now, you know, we're going to find out how this short track pack is going to work with Richmond. Talking about the Cup Series. That question is yet to be answered, but if it's anything like Phoenix, and I'm not trying to compare Phoenix to Richmond here, but look, last year we saw some good races. Well, this one, for me, the spring race was the best one because strategy, you got guys pitting at different laps of the race, things like that. You have guys had different tire strategies, trying to jump one over the other. So if it gets like that, it's going to get really spicy here. But again, it'd be really interesting to see the actual how this is going to work out So with the Chevys being as fast as they are, let's see. Yeah, Chevy and Toyota getting their first, oh, by the way, Toyota getting their first win of 2023 thanks to Tyler Reddick's dominant performance at COTA. So Toyota's on the board. So all three manufacturers are on the board here in 2023. You had Joey Logano winning last week in his Ford, the defending series champ. And then you have Tyler Reddick just making a statement of his own there and getting the victory lane. So after Ford honed in on the first several races of his race, now you're starting to see Toyota, maybe since Toyota, this is their kind of their racetrack right here. Can they get it going? And bad luck aside, because look, yeah, Truex up there in the top 10 late. He worked his way up there. So Ty Gibbs there finishing the top 10. So I'm kind of being bullish on Toyota this weekend to pick up the pace. And you got to go back to the Clash. I know it doesn't mean anything, but Truex won that one. Had a really fast car all weekend long. So, again, a bit optimist about it. We'll have to see about it. But, hey, it's going to be interesting to see what the Richmond racetrack holds for the Xfinity in the Cup Series. And let's not forget, now it's south. The trucks will get it back going on, which I believe it's going to be the evening time. I don't have the time up here because my app is outdated. So I get that all fixed up, all this other stuff. But it'll be an interesting weekend. Full slate of racing on April's full weekend. And that is not a joke. Nope, that's not a joke. Not at all. So, biggest news story of the week. This is the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. A recovering EG3 in the building. 80 degree to 30 with you guys. If I sound a little different, it's because I'm getting over a mild head cold. That is why I sound a little different. I know I've been around a lot of people last week and a half. So, but anyway, that's not the point. So, all right. So, real quick, I wanted to get to this because, look, we talked about NASCAR being a consistent, and I knew it as soon as it involved Hendrick Motorsports, they were going to take the penalties back. Of course, being a short track, you go back to Phoenix where all the Hendrick cars were confiscated of the loofers messing around. And we talked about the historic penalties that was, at that time anyways, a couple episodes ago on this podcast, I talked about it. That was the most historic penalties of all time. And now you can pretty much take back whatever I said on that because NASCAR, as of yesterday, again, sitting here recording this podcast on Thursday night, on opening night of baseball 2023. NASCAR says, no, we'll take it back. So stupid. I mean, that's just frustrating to me there as well. So we're going to just, and I didn't see anything on Justin Haley, so I guess Justin Haley is still in the negative as it comes to points. I haven't really checked that yet on him, but as far as Hendrick Motorsports, no, we'll give your points back. We'll give you your playoff points back and whatnot. So this changes the game dramatically. Not happy with NASCAR on this, and this it does with the way this looks. Yeah, it's favoritism. That's what I gotta say for that. If we're gonna be consistent with these penalties, keep them. Why are we gonna take it back if we're scared of the big bad wolf? Screw that, man. I mean, they broke the rules. You broke the rules. I mean, it's simple as that. And this definitely does make NASCAR look stupid because Hendrick Motorsports obviously is a name brand in the sport, right? And yes, William Byron now giving us points back. He says third in the points. Initially, William Byron was, 22nd or something like that? Bowman was back there. Now he's the points leader. And actually, come to think of it, I think Alex Bowman at that time would have been the point. No, it would have been William Byron. Or would have been Alex Bowman. I don't know. I think it would have been Bowman, actually. Because he was up there, and then the penalties dropped, and they lost all their points. Now you give them points back. Look at this. Bowman, your points leader. Byron, third. Kyle Larson, ninth. Oh, my goodness. So you have three of your headed cars, right, finish or in the top 10 at this point, hanging in Richmond this weekend. Gosh be darned.
Man, I tell you.
You cannot. This just makes NASCAR look so stupid in multiple ways. But number one part, it's favoritism. Because, look, you broke the rules. You're supposed to stay with it. I didn't hear nothing about Justin Haley. You might as well give Justin Haley the points back. What happens? No, we'll just keep Haley's and keep him in the negative. This is so stupid. I cannot believe it. Well, I can believe it because I knew when they were going to appeal the penalties, they were going to take him back because it's Henrik Motorsports. Rick Hendrick, all hail King, baby. I just don't like it. I don't like it from a Spanish perspective. You're going to be consistent. This is not the way. This is not the way to do it. Not one bit whatsoever. Not happy about it. And now, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs anyways. Let's face it here. It's not like they're going to, you can't take it away because they're going to, these guys, Henrik Motorsports, look, they've been, they're contending. You already know. It is, they're going to be championship contenders year in, year out. Get all the cars in the playoffs year in, year out. So there's no doubt in my mind they would have gotten in the playoffs anyways because William Byron had two wins anyway. And was sitting in promises to be the leader before NASCAR handed down the shenanigans and took the shenanigans back. That's like taking your favorite, your favorite wine, you don't like it, and you take, that's a bad example, you don't like it, screw it, I'm gonna get another kind, I'm gonna take it back. This is so stupid. So whatever that was there, and Justin Haley, I am actually on the list right now, in the deeper in the standings. Justin Haley, still in the negative, -7 for Justin Haley. So you might as well give everybody the points back. Justin Haley got hit the hardest, and he's still in the negative, -7. Damn. So yeah, I got fired about that one. Not happy. I know. Several people are on my camp about this. Well, it's not a good look. This is not a good look. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care you LeBron James. I don't care if you Henrik Motorsports. Well, in this case, this is Henrik Motorsports. And, of course, Henrik Motorsports is going to get the end around. Go figure. So, wow. Just this, just all that for what? If you might as well just warn them. If you're not going to penalize, you might as well just give them a stupid warning. For all I care. Instead of just putting the sledgehammer on all four of those cars, and the next thing they go, oh, it's okay, we'll just take it back. I think Henrik appealed. They appealed, and of course NASCAR saying, oh, it's okay, you know, we'll just give you points back. What about Colleague Racing? What about Justin Haley? Give them points back. Goodness gracious, come on, man. NASCAR putting you in the middle hole this week, man. You. And who else? Who else was going to put three in the three wide position? I'm going to put Ty Dillon, actually, because I don't think he's finished the race yet in 2023. Shout out Mick Rose, also ET3 alumnus. He tweeted it out. I think he's right about Ty Dillon not finishing the race, because Ty Dillon, where is he at in points? Ty Dillon. I don't even see him. Nope, Ty Dillon. Yeah, I had to go back. Ty Dillon. 33rd in points, 32 points. Oh, boy. Anyways, man, get off that soapbox here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer the third here, working through, pushing through here, recovering from being a little bit of a head cold here, so I apologize if I sound different here on the podcast. Episode 346, Coda Reaction, Tyler Reddick, I believe now, is the new road course king after just putting on a show out there down there in Austin, Texas last weekend as he and his rest of his Toyota teammates take on Richmond Raceway this weekend on April Fool's weekend. And once again, no, it's not a joke. This is not a joke. There's that. I mentioned Daniel Suarez here early on in the podcast, folks, for his actions. And this is just, again, stupid. three. I'll put you in a three wide position also for doing that. Let's see. I got it on. He was penalized. Daniel Suarez, and Daniel Suarez tweeted something. I guess he wanted to please about his money being taken away. Daniel Suarez, $50,000 for bumping Alex Bowman's car after the race is over. You cannot do that. I mean, obviously emotions take full reign, right? You're not thinking straight. You say what you do, what's necessary. You say what you want to say at that moment. We all get like that, right? Including yours truly, right? But pulling your car, using it as a possible weapon, get after somebody while everyone's unstrapping. We've seen this before on occasions. Every now and then, we've seen it before. Buckling out of people's seats, people are moving around, trying to get out of the cars. Crew chiefs, pit officials, anything of that NASCAR personnel, things like that. You just can't do that. What are you doing? That's a snowball effect from, because Daniel Suarez, he was fifth by the time the caution came out for these overtimes, right? And oh, by the way, Tyler Reddick won in triple overtime. They're holding off multiple restarts there to get his first win with his new team, by the way. Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan, 23-11 racing there, and they got that monkey off their back. Let's see what they're going to do at Richmond this weekend. Speaking of Tyler Reddick, now speaking of Daniel Suarez had a top 10 car all day, got himself the fifth, and then the shit started there where he got hit. He was trying to charge on in there, and this is where Martin Truex Jr. got taken out. It was Suarez, Bowman, and then Truex got clipped. I knew if Truex was starting inside, he would have been good. He would have been good. But I knew it when he selected the high side, like, oh, damn, something's going to happen up there. And sure enough, the Suarez accordion punched him out of the way and ruins a possible what should have been a top 10 finish. And they're all that saying, Daniel Suarez, what the hell are you doing? Suarez, $50,000, and surprise, there's not no points taken away for us all it's worth there. So Daniel Suarez got lucky on that part. We just can't do it. You gotta be smarter than that. According to Alex Bowman, got mad or whatever after the race was over, and then they cleared it up because apparently Alex Bowman showed him the video, and then Daniel Suarez came after Ross Chastain afterwards, apparently. So when I listened to Teardown and reading a couple other articles, that's what it sounded like, and that's what happened. Daniel Suarez and Ross Chastain, remember, these are teammates, team trackouts going at it. Ross Chastain at one point was in the back of the field, found himself in the top 10 after all those overtimes, and then Daniel Suarez was on the raw end of the deal. Well, actually, it's not raw. Bad end of a stick where he should have gotten a top 10 as well. Really cost me oh, by the way, I'll throw this bone at you. Had Suarez in the fantasy league. You cost me, man. What the hell? What the hell is that? But anyways, but the point being saying that is, look, you cannot put your car in that type of position. It's just not good. Not good. So at least NASCAR on that end got that point right there as well. And of course, yes, no points deduction there as well. If you go back to last year, Ty Gibbs, and this was going on. Remember, this is credit to Jeff Gluck. He brought this up on his Twitter. I wrote it down. Ty Gibbs penalized last year at Texas Motor Speedway in the fall for body slamming, door slamming, Ty Dillon. Speaking of Ty Dillon, here there he is again. Ty Dillon, $75,000. This was during the race, during a pit stop at Texas Motor Speedway last fall. So that was even more. And that I can agree with that, because that's in the middle of the action there. What are you doing? This is after, and maybe there could be an argument. There could have been at least 25 more added to that. But I don't see an issue with that whatsoever there. So credit Jeff Gluck on bringing that up. So yeah, just you have to be smarter than that in that situation. If you're Daniel Suarez there, very costly for him in that spot. So well, we've come to that time again here. We're closing in on the end of this podcast here. This is another edition of the 3-1 Ask a Podcast, EG3. Make sure you check out my conversation with Christy Luttrell, the one half of the Fast Lap podcast that came out late Sunday and is out now. And also feel free to go back to recent episodes of Season 8 as well. We have Isabella Robusto, Phil Spain, and I'm gonna have another guest in here probably next week as well. I'm gonna have to reach out to him again. I'm gonna reach out to my contact, make sure we're all good for that next week. Ooh boy, you're gonna want to tune in that there as well. So losing my train of thought here. But anyways, here, let's see what we have here. Staying on the topic here before we sign out here in the podcast today. Of course, so again, the trucks, they're going to be in Texas this weekend. I believe it's on Sunday. Don't quote me on that. Go if you're interested in going to that race or wanting to watch it, which is going to be on, by the way, FS1. I do know that. Go back, check it out. The Xfinity Series and Cup Series races will do battle in Virginia this weekend there. Let's see. Oh, I got times right here. Wow. Appreciate you on that. All right, so set the stage. This will go out tonight, by the way. Late tonight, by the way. So we got a Saturday doubleheader with the Xfinity Series in trucks. All beginning with the Xfinity Series in Richmond on Saturday, April Fool's Saturday. No, it's not a joke. This is for real. 12:15 Central Time. Folks, for those listening areas of Oklahoma, Texas, parts of Arkansas, Missouri, 12:15 Central. This gets it all started. Then the trucks, right after that, literally, will do battle in Fort Worth. That's a 3:43 green flag there for the trucks in the Richmond Cup Series. Kind of a mid-afternoon start here, folks. 2:30 start for the Cup Series race on Sunday. So a little bit late start there as well. So looking forward to it for the most part there. So thank you for that. Yeah, so it looks like this. The Xfinity first, trucks at Texas. Again, 3:43 Central Time, green flag, a little bit, maybe even a little bit after that. And then the Cup Series at 2:39. Green flag is around that time here in the Central Time Zone as well. So a lot going on. So a lot going on there as well. And of course, whoop, I got another breaking news. Okay, so again, credit Bob Pockris on this. So this is breaking news here. Glad I mentioned colleague earlier, because you might as well give colleague the points back too. They're gonna have their appealing next week, next Wednesday, folks. So about that. And Denny Hamlin, again, with his comments on Action Dinner Metro about Ross Chastain, he'll have his appeal the following day. So, a lot going on. A lot going on off the racetrack as far as NASCAR concerns. So, yeah, about damn time. Yeah, so, colleague, I hope you get your points back, because apparently they ain't seen nothing wrong with Hendrick Motorsports. If they don't give Justin Haley, Colley Racing, their points back, I'm coming right back on here and rant some more. So we'll see about that. And of course, Denny Hamlin was not happy either as well. So with his whole deal, and that kind of sucks for him as well. I kind of feel him on that one. Call somebody out and then get penalized for it. So there is that. Final four, and I talked about this on the Christian Luttrell pod. We did not make it. I think in his podcast kind of on a bad note, but it's okay. But we look at it as positive here. I know K-State Nation is still reeling a little bit from another Elite Eight exit. Look, I look at it this way. Yes, am I disappointed? Yeah. Am I going to move on eventually? Yes, I am, because this baseball going on right now as I'm speaking. That's opening day 2023. The Braves are back in action. Can't wait for that. Well, yeah, they're going on right now as I'm talking. But yeah, it's one of those things that you just can't get over the hump, especially over mid-range, over mid-level teams. No shot to Florida Atlantic or Loyola Chicago or Butler, but the latest to go on that list, Florida Atlantic, Mason's made more plays than we did. Bottom line, you just can't point. I know I'm going on this on a tangent. I'm going on a tangent, folks. But you just can't look at one play for Kansas State. There's multiple plays that could have been made, including the free throws. Free throws are uncharacteristically missed. Plays weren't made. Refs were it's god awful. It's anything, right? You need those breaks to go your way, and it just did not for us in that basketball game. And unfortunately, we had to sit there, and yeah, the season ended. And you would have sat here and told me we would have made it Elite Eight. You go back to last summer on my other podcast. Shout out to the Pro Project Podcast, shameless plug that I'm on. But look, you would have told me back then. This team, Jerome Tang's first year at Kansas State here in Manhattan, Kansas, where I record through my pod, this is where I live at. You would have told me they would make it to Elite Eight. I would have told you, hell no. There ain't no way in hell with this team, way this team is, this basketball team has been performing the last 3 years under Bruce Weber, the last years of Bruce Weber, our old coach. And now you get this energetic, passionate, Christ-loving coach in Jerome Tang. And he has flipped this thing a complete 360 completely. And look, there's some bright days ahead for basketball. Look, this is what it is. But they took us on a hell of a ride. But look, at the end of the day, Florida Atlantic just wanted it more. It got to every loose rebound. Loose rebounds, they made the plays, they made threes to keep them in the game. There was a couple of times in that second half that K-State looked like, hey, we got a chance to knock these guys out and knock them out for the count. No, Florida Atlantic turns back around and punches back. And the threes, the three defense, man, the threes just killed us in New York. Yeah, we got away with it against Michigan State. But here, Florida Atlantic made us pay for it. Every time we missed an opportunity to bury them, they bury us with a three there as well. So very unfortunate for us not to get there. Eventually, it's going to hopefully to happen in my time here. Well, so we'll just have to see. But yeah, Jerome Tang's got this team. And the exposure, right? The exposure of this basketball team. Thanks to the big guy, Mr. New York City, Marquise Noel. This was his tournament, and he shined. Holy smokes. He turned this game to another level. Of course, he's from New York. But he played at another level, for sure. So it just wow. I mean, this is going to be so much. There's going to be so much positive coming out of this. Yes, it sounds stupid, but there's going to be so much positivity coming out of this here. The videos, whatnot, or joy. I know the Final Four is this weekend as well. So man. It's going to be tough to watch it because I didn't watch the rest of the regional weekend when we got beat. I just said, screw this. I ain't watching no more basketball. But I will probably pop in here and watch some basketball because it's almost the end of the season anyway. So I might as well just finish it out. But this K-State basketball team, Jerome Tang, I hope Jerome Tang's going to be here for a long time. So that's the impact that he's had, not only just on this team, but the whole community as well. And, man, this is something that we're not going to forget. This is just some wild stuff happened in this tournament. And it's so hard, folks, to win a postseason basketball game in the NCAA tournament because everybody is good. Everybody is good. That includes the Florida Atlantics going in. San Diego State going to the Final Four. UConn's back in the top stage. And Miami finally got over that hurdle. So maybe we're going to be the next Miami to get over that hurdle. It took Miami two times to get there. So it's eventually has to happen for Kansas State, right? But yeah, we just lost. I'm surprised there, Marquise. Yeah, I know I'm turning this into the K-State podcast, but I'm surprised Marquise made that decision She's in there because, yeah, I thought he was done. I thought Ellis really was done, but apparently he had one more year left. And not surprised there for Noel. He's going to go for the NBA draft. I am surprised about the other one. And this is ironically, folks, the two guys of K-State that came back and said, we're going to ride this thing. I find it how ironic. And they did some ironic things in the tournament. I'm talking about Marquise Noel and Ish Masood. Saying that he's going to hit the transfer portal. I was stunned by that. Very, very stunned by that. So, man, he didn't want to stick it out. I mean, you have plenty of momentum there as well. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. So. But he made so many big plays in the postseason, Ish did. And we know what Marquise Noel did in that run there. This is something that we're not going to forget. It sucks now. Still sucks after almost a week, but we're not going to forget the razzle-dazzle, the magician plays that Marquise Noel did for K-State. Speaking of magicianal things here, Josh Williams, to get it back, to end it on a NASCAR note, Josh Williams landed a new primary sponsor after being suspended last weekend. Right, he did not race last week because of his park it right there in the start-finish line at Atlanta. Parking Guidance Systems will be his sponsor here moving forward. So, hey, I guess all good things considered, something good came out of it. So, but everybody loves Josh Williams, right? Didn't take no BS there, and he gets rewarded for a sponsor. So that's huge for that race team moving forward. So they can build on that as well. So good job for Josh there. And, of course, he was on recently on a DBC podcast, Door Bumper Clear podcast. Yes, that's a shameless plug, but I got to plug it in because it's one of my favorite NASCAR pods to listen to there as well. So definitely have not already, go check that out there, wherever you get your podcast. Same thing with this 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. We're on the same platforms like DBC, Teardown, Action General Metro, Apple, Spotify, and a few more other podcasting platforms as well, including iHeartRadio as well. So definitely go check us out as well. I know this started out choppy, but this got really spicy. So I appreciate you guys on that as well. Well, two locations this weekend, folks, for NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series down there in Austin. Not Austin. Fort Worth. Not Austin. They're just there. Fort Worth, so not too far from Austin. They're going to go more Texas racing there in the Xfinity Series and Cup races. They will set to do battle at the Action Track, which has not been at more Action Track except for the first Richmond race of last year for the Cup Series. And again, the agenda is still out on this new new short track package. We're going to find a lot more about this package this weekend for sure. So definitely, if you're not busy, definitely make sure you go check out the races wherever you get a TV, FS, between FS1 and the Fox brand of networks out there, folks. But for right now, checkered flag, whoa, 3Y3, the E2 helmet stickers this week. Well, I'm going to give you two of them right off the bat. Todd Gilliland, E2 helmet sticker this weekend. Who else that I'm trying to think of here? Let's go Tyler Reddick. EG3 helmet sticker out of the week as well here. And turn on the page. Let's see here. That's two. Let's see the Xfinity series. I mean, I can't think of. Let's stick with. Yeah, let's go Sammy Smith again. Sammy Smith, EG3 helmet sticker of the week. That's three in the truck series. Let's give Zane Smith another one. EGD helmet sticker. So, yeah, I don't have time to go back through it right now. So, Zane Smith, EGD helmet sticker this week. Sammy Smith again, EGD helmet sticker. And then you have Todd Gillen with a nice top 10 run, EGD helmet sticker. And the winner of the Cup race, Tyler Reddick, also gets one as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap things up. The checkered flag has waved on another edition of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Man, I'm feeling better as the end of this podcast episode comes to a close. But again, ladies and gentlemen, 3Y Nation, appreciate you again for hanging in there with me this week on the podcast as I getting over this head cold that I gotten earlier this week. So I'm trying to fight through that, but I'm getting better. I hope to be better by next week so we can talk about Texas and Richmond. So we're going to have two different sites to cover. And if anything else comes back, actually, we ought to know. I should know because I'm probably going to record this again. Our next episode will be Thursday. So I'm going to wait till after the results of these penalties of the appeals from McCullough Racing and Denny Hamlin. And then I'll go come back on here and we'll break it all down, including Texas from the Craftsman Truck Series and the Xfinity and Cup Series races, respectively, at Richmond. We'll see who takes the checkered flag at the action track, which hopes to be the action track this weekend. This has been another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. We'll talk to y'all next week.